All is prepared. Let's come before God in prayer, shall we? Father, we do thank you for the gift of your living word, and we pray you will help us to understand it as we seek to mature and grow in you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we listen to songs, we watch romantic films, we read great love stories, but what is love? We're told it's a conscious decision to seek the other's well-being, an act of will, not a feeling. But love, surely, without feeling, is incomplete. Love, we hope and trust, is evident in our families and our close friends. But can we really love our neighbour on the other side of the street, on the other side of the world? Those suffering from AIDS far away, those suffering from AIDS nearby, the asylum seeker, the children who pick cocoa beans. Interesting, St. Teresa of Avila said, "We cannot know whether we love God, although there may be strong reasons for thinking so, but there can be no doubts whether we love our neighbour or not." But to love also means allowing ourselves to be loved. So let me ask you a question. Are you open to God's love? And half of you are thinking, well, what a daft question on a Sunday evening when we all come to church regularly. But don't we have to challenge ourselves from time to time to question where we are? I, as long as everybody else, have to check where we are on our journey and to see if we are still in tune with God. For opening ourselves to God's love time and time again gives us a true sense of identity. And this provides us with assurance and courage and hope and understanding. And perhaps too, when we see the confidence of children, when they know they are loved, that too helps us understand of God's transforming love for all of us, each of us, and of all people. But sometimes our misplaced images of God get in the way, and I can recall years ago now, when I was a child, a young child, wondering if God was like some sort of spiritual policeman. You know that feeling you get when you're driving round a corner and you suddenly see a policeman with that radar gun pointing at you? And you might be perfectly fine, you're all within the limit, but you've got that, And I do recall a time in my life, long, long ago, when I thought, was God a spiritual policeman trying to catch me out? Was he waiting for that opportunity? And it's surprising because as adults, we hold images of God, sometimes which are a challenge to us, sometimes which are unhelpful to us. Sometimes we can see God as a critical parent, maybe a vengeful tyrant. Someone spoke to me at a service this morning who doesn't come to church regularly at all. And they said to me that classic question, why does God allow all this suffering in the world? As we had our quiet space together. And I shared something about the story of Jesus. I shared something about the choice that God has given us when he loves us enough to let us go into the world. And we have choice about doing right and wrong. And then this chap went on to his own issues and his own problems. And we had a good talk together and a time to pray. But maybe we need to question sometimes what our images of God are and whether they make us afraid to really open up, open ourselves to love, because of fear of how God might respond. Sometimes we might perceive that if we linger with those who aren't churched, those who aren't clean, we too may be affected, as we see in some accounts of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Why is Jesus with these people? Surely these are outcasts. But it's interesting today, isn't it? At services this evening, confronted by the powerful lectionary readings from Luke this morning and from Matthew, here we are once again called to ponder called to wrestle with what it is to be loved by God, what it is to love God with our whole selves, what it is to love our neighbour as ourselves. So easy to say, so difficult to put into practice when we are really tested. In our reading from Matthew's Gospel, we see how these religious, political, erudite leaders continue to watch Jesus. They continue to listen to him so that they might find a way that would enable them to contest his preaching, to contest his teaching, to contest his healing as either false and not in accordance with Jewish law, or that he might fall foul of Roman law and be arrested as a traitor. Well, let's put our feet in Jesus' sandals for a moment, shall we? Jesus, we know, is wholly divine, but let's not forget he's wholly human too. He felt the pain and the jibes of those around him. He knew of and felt the underlying tension and the mockery, and he knew that powerful people were out to get him. Have you ever been there? I see some nods. Interesting place to be, isn't it? Interesting place to be. Yet Jesus continues to engage with the religious leaders as they ask him, which is the greatest command? Again, trying to trick him. Faithful people trying to trick Jesus. And what does Jesus say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. Fascinating. As we try to really grapple and wrestle, as we should, with what this means. And I turned at one stage to the theologian Jürgen Moltmann, and he describes God as three divine subjects, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're very aware of that, in mutual loving relationship with one another, and God's relationship to the world as a reciprocal relationship in which God, in love for his world, not only affects the world, but is affected by the world. God is so close to us that our attitudes and behaviours affect him. He is not immune to how we feel, to how we react to our neighbour. In this, divine love is genuinely a two-way relationship. This is not, as we know, some far-off distant God. This is a God who knows us inside out. And I don't know about you, but I don't like parading my inside out sometimes, because God knows what I'm like. And let's be honest, he knows what we're all like, doesn't he? And yet the wonderful truth is he embraces us as the unique and special individuals that each of us are. And not only us here on a Sunday evening, faithful as we may be, but all people who are called to follow him. Interpreting what Scripture is saying to us in our time and our place and our context can be a real challenge. For some, it's simply a matter of taking the whole Bible literally. And in some senses, that's very easy. It doesn't require a lot of thought. We just take it as it's written. For others, it's about seeking how to interpret the Bible in our time and place, while still trying to be true to the messages of Christ. How do we balance that in our lives? How do we work that through? It's interesting how Jesus brought some of that together. And you might say to me, well, on an autumnal winter night, what a heavy thing to start talking about. I wanted a light service to buoy me up, to give me strength for the week ahead. Well, stick with it. We're not quite there yet. What's all the fuss about? Jesus is faced with a much discussed issue. In over 600 commands in the law, which is the most important? Let's trick him. And yet Jesus' response is to turn people to a new direction. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. In this way, I believe Jesus shows that love is the center of the law and at the heart of the new covenant which Jesus himself is signaling. As Methodists, we also see this reflected in many of John Wesley's sermons, but perhaps one, the Sermon of the Means of Grace, and of course others, where Wesley describes how God approaches us through his prevenient or preceding grace. Since before we knew him, God loved us, and God loves us. At its heart, Wesley put into words the way in which he saw and understood how God is active in our world, in our lives, in this time, in Wesley's time, and as I fall to this earth, in future days to come. The grace which Wesley describes is a way of indicating God's favour upon us as an act of sheer love and deliverance in time of need and in the provision of our daily sustenance. It's interesting too, if we contrast other parts of the Bible, Paul's letter to the Hebrews also provides some insights to the workings of God's grace. And here we see how humanity stood apart from God's favour on account of our sin. Yet through Jesus' loving obedience to God's call, Jesus brought forgiveness and cleansing for all who seek to put their trust in him, so that we might have access to the very throne of God. So here we are at Belgate Methodist Church on an autumnal Sunday evening, and we're given access to the throne of God in this place. As I came down from the car park this evening, I stared looking at the windows and how beautiful they are. And sometimes, don't you want to go down the road and just shout to people, come on in! This is where the action is. This is where the love is. But of course, God is already at work out there. So we meet him here, but boy, do we meet him out there too. And we know from experience that sometimes we have to take that step of faith, to cross that road, to meet the other, so that we can discover the Christ in them. Who is our neighbour? Who is our neighbour? For us to respond to the call of Christ as we look upon the main commandments that Jesus referred to is a call to willingly enter into a journey with Christ based on our response to God's love. All we're called to do is to walk alongside God, to follow him in our daily lives, as he gives us strength and courage and hope to do. But in that small offering of ourselves, we have the promise of the very presence, love, and hope of God. And boy, does that sustain us when we need it. Boy, does that fill us to overflowing as God's Spirit comes into our lives and as we seek to share that love with others, without condition. So, may we open ourselves to the love of God. May all those images of God that we hold so dear, which are unhelpful to us, if we have them, may we put those aside. And may we be willing to follow God's call to love our neighbour as ourselves, and to love God with our heart and our soul and our mind. And may we be channels of God's love with all whom we meet, without exception. Amen.